Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chrisanne Hall Daily Journal. Chrisanne Hall here, Chrisannehall.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome, JC.
Hello.
Wow. Let's just start at the beginning, and we'll just say hello to everybody while I get my brain in order. Things are just nuts out there. Absolutely stinking nuts. Never before has it been more evident that we have to have a constitutional sheriff in every single county in America. I just look out and I see what's going on, and I keep thinking, this wouldn't happen if we were actually functioning as a constitutional republic. And we are not. So, hello to everybody out there who is listening and watching. Michael, always in our Facebook chat room, says, guns up, Chrisanne and JC and Mac. He's always saying hello to Mac, too. So, hello from to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Let's see. Who else do we have out here? Vero Beach, Florida. Palmetto, Florida. Wenatchee, Washington. There we go. Coast to coast. West Virginia. Wonderful West Virginia.
West, by God, Virginia.
Apollo Beach. Sand Hill says, what did Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, and Pol Pot all have in common? That sounds like a joke, right?
Yeah.
You know? A Baptist, a Catholic, and a Jewish guy walk into a bar. Wait for that punchline, right? Hello from Northern Minnesota. The State of Liberty is in town as well. My goodness, everybody out there. Loomis, California, supporters of the CSPOA. Yep. Yeah, Sheriff Mack has doing a great
Michigan,
work.
Fredonia, Kansas. Bucks, Pennsylvania. Cortez, Colorado, Northeast PA, Oklahoma, Lake Charles, Louisiana. You used to work in Lake Charles, Louisiana, did you not?
No, I actually lived in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I worked in Westlake, Louisiana. So I lived in Lake Charles.
Welcome, stayed in Sulphur.
Hello to everybody. Welcome. Today's show, the Constitution and Federal Troops. We've been talking about this quite a bit, JC, but there's still a lot of misinformation going on out there.
Well, it's also ratcheting up. I mean, it keeps escalating.
Yes.
It's not going away.
Yes, it is escalating. Escalating, yeah. So, I don't know, Facebook's messing with us today like YouTube was messing with us yesterday. So make sure when you come in to all of our programs, whether you're on Twitter right now, whether you're on Facebook watching us, or on YouTube watching us, make sure that you give us the thumbs up, the likes. Make sure that you also hit the subscribe button. But please, today, share as you're watching, because YouTube is not sending out our shows anymore for notice, and apparently now Facebook is going to throttle us back too. Is there any way?
I got a notice, finally.
What'd you say? You finally got a notice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, people say, why do you spend so much time talking before the show? Because we have to wait for everybody to have a chance to even get in here. I mean, the whole thing is just nuts. So I did want to say hello to everybody that's in here. And I wanted to give everybody a chance to get in. But I do want to talk to you today about the Constitution, about the federal troops that are coming in. And the thing that's bothering me, JC, is not that we had federal forces, federal government people, defending the federal courthouse, but that this is spilling over into the communities, and it's getting crazy. Now, what's crazy is we have talked about this, we have taught about this, and the one thing that bothers me, JC, is the fact that we have so many different kinds of federal forces. I mean, you have You have the Department of Homeland Security. You've got Border Patrol. You've got the environmental. The EPA has their forces. The post office has their forces. The Department of Education has their forces. And what Donald Trump had said here in this article here in the Business Insider, he says that, where is this? He says, we will put 50,000, 60,000 people that really know what they're doing. They're strong, they're tough, but as you know it, we have to be invited. Okay? So apparently, Donald Trump and the Trump administration is standing by with 50 to 60,000, not military, JC, federal government law enforcement employees to come into our towns and our cities to enforce law. And I find it very alarming that we have so many. Am I crazy?
Yeah. I wonder, do we? Is he just talking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that is Trump, but...
Do we actually have... Are there actually 50 to 60,000 federal agents, law enforcement agents? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just... what do you do if... how do you... Well, that's... Is that not part of the problem? How do you know if they're there or not? I mean, with everything that's going
set
on...
Set fire to the courthouse. You don't know if they're there.
Set fire to the courthouse. Well, but, you know, at least Trump is still talking about the fact that, hey, we don't have the permission. We have to have permission to go in there. We have to have... And we talked about this. This is in the Constitution of the United States. You have to have permission to go inside... But I wanted to show this video. We have this video. I want to show you what's happened at this courthouse. Because it's just... There's so many things about this that make us question. And I can see, JC, I can see why people are alarmed. I can see why people are intimidated by this. I can see why people are working at... you know, asking for help from the federal government. Now, we're looking at this video, if you're just listening to us on the radio, and it's the video, there's no sound in it, really, it's just all of the scenes. And inside, this is actually inside the fence. This is actually federal courthouse property right here. You can see where they brought in trash to light fires. You can see all the graffiti. It is all anti-police graffiti. It's all about, and what I found amazing is that this is all supposed to be about George Floyd, but there was only one thing spray painted about him on here in one corner. You've got the anarchy symbol being spray painted on the wall. I mean, the place is just trashed. Is that paint that they splattered on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
No, it's all F the police and...
Look at that. They brought in trash to build and lit it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the whole place is concrete and marble, so you're not going to put it on fire. They brought in trash to build a fire.
Well, I hate to tell you, this looks like a... sidewalk in downtown Port-au-Prince.
Yeah.
By the way. If you've never been there.
Yeah.
So a Haitian from Port-au-Prince would be like, what are we looking at? What's bothering you?
Yeah, I don't know this kind of graffiti you find in Port-au-Prince. I mean, there's graffiti, no. But not like this. I mean, this is violent graffiti. This is just not even... Oh, there's the... Hold on a second. There's the,
Eat cops. No good when cops exist.
No good cops exist when cops kill. But look at this, JC. You've got the whole little...
fist.
The fist thing. The Marxist fist. Somebody had a stencil for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You see that? Somebody had a stencil for that. This is, and it just goes on and on and on and on. This is, and here's the only reference to George Floyd in the whole thing. Because you realize this is not about George Floyd. This is about violence.
That was the question I had. So looking at it, thinking about it, what actually does a federal courthouse have to do with the George Floyd incident?
Thank you, because that's exactly what was on my mind as
and,
well.
And how do, what is the protest?
Right.
Right. What is the protest of attacking and setting fire, breaking into a courthouse, trying to destroy a courthouse, a federal courthouse? How does that message correspond to police accountability and the death, the murder of George Floyd?
Well, and that's, and again, I think so, the answer so is no.
No, it doesn't. So
it has nothing
another,
to do with that.
No, it's another indication that the George Floyd incident is pretense, because this doesn't line up with that message. This is different.
Mm-hmm.
But it does line up, as again we talked about on several shows. What Thaddeus and I looked at as well, it does line up with the writings and messaging and mission of BLM and Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Victor, our friend Victor is in the chat room, JC. He said there's 250,000 that work for the Department of Homeland Security, and 85,000 of them, he says, are ninja fighters. Now add FBI, the DEA, the ATF, and all the other alphabets out there.
That's mind-numbing. It's almost like there are more federal law enforcement agents than there are military.
Well, yeah. Seriously.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. So now you have the perfect storm, right? You have the perfect storm. You have this powder keg of people who are pushing this kind of violence, right? Then you have the knowledge that we have 250,000 in the Department of Homeland Security alone. 85,000 of them are troops. We know that the ATF has troops. We know the DEA has troops. We know the FBI has troops. We also should know that
the Department of Education has troops.
The Department of Education, the post office has troops. And so, you know, there's a saying, JC, if you give a man a hammer, everything is a nail.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these people, 85,000 in the Department of Homeland Security alone, who have been training for what? For what? They have been training for this. They have been training for this. This is what they're looking for. This is what they've been training for. And so that's why I say this is the perfect storm. Because in the midst of this, JC, you've got the Portland officials sending the federal government a cease and desist letter and calling for the removal of the fence around the courthouse.
Yeah, go back to the still of the video where you can see the fence. They talk, so that's what's funny, and that goes to my thought. I think
there's
I've said this
there's
before.
There's the fence.
This
goes
to my thought of this is all
thing.
a coordinated orchestration,
mm-hmm.
right, to expand federal power and create, you know, civil war as a response to anarchy that then leads to federal troops basically invading the entire nation and locking everything down under tyranny. But so you see these guys, they had crowbars and hammers and all this trying to break into the federal courthouse. The graffiti, their lighting tried to set fire. And so that's the fence is the barrier around it now trying to protect this federal property.
Right.
Which, by the way, is right up against the big concrete barriers that
mm-hmm.
are, I guess, always there. And Portland's response is, you need to take down those fences because they're blocking bike lanes. which you can look and see they're not blocking bike lanes. No. But so then why would you do that? If so, that says that the so-called leaders in Portland want this to happen.
Yes, 'cause, absolutely.
'Cause to remove the fence means, okay, what they're saying is you need to give these people unfettered access to vandalize, attack, and destroy federal buildings. So
and that's exactly
signals they
right.
want it to happen.
But
and
that means there's more lives in danger. There's more property in danger. Sure. There's going to be more call for... You're not going to get less federal forces in there by pulling down the fence. Exactly. You're going to get more.
No, wasn't it interesting that... Because you had this... The word came out when the... You know, this the Border Patrol or Marshals or whoever were grabbing people. And the Portland officials, we're going to sue. Well, what was their suit? What was their suit? Lawsuit was, take down the fence. You're blocking bike lanes.
Yeah.
So it's like... It was a total con job. Like,
right.
They're not even serious. So that says to me it's all coordinated in the sense of they want this to happen because they actually want Donald Trump and the federal government to react. They, while they're saying, you know, these troops need to get off our streets, they actually want them on the streets because they want the chaos and the clash
right.
and the confrontation
right.
so that they can say, look what Trump did and then further, you know, here's the reason why we don't need police and all this sort of stuff. So even though they're you see the lefties in the media whining about Trump having sent federal troops, their actions demonstrate that they want him to send federal troops because it actually aids their narrative.
Right.
So don't be fooled. And then when you look at, again, the so-called protest, right, and then they all call them protesters. And that was
right.
funny. The one article said protesters attempt to break into a courthouse and set fires. Okay, then that's not a protest.
This is not a protest, people.
So
this is not anywhere near a protest.
But remember,
this video does not portray the results of a protest.
No,
and I just want to, we need to be clear about that. I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing this. This is not what you see when you have a protest. I want you to hold that thought, JC, because I think we need to see something juxtaposition here, because I pulled up something for the show today.
Well, you need to understand the purpose. The purpose is for provocation. They're out, they have directives. I mean, remember the I think it was Veritas, Project Veritas, and the other people that infiltrated the movement and got the documents out and the sort of insider stuff they were doing. That's why when you see, you know, when the mayor got tear gassed and blah, blah, blah. So there were peaceful protesters. There were people just protesting there
right.
and then the mayor's with that. That's not the group that's doing this. So there's an organized group that's taking the opportunity. They show up. They start pelting police, charging, doing all this stuff in order to provoke a reaction from the police to get this started. So the whole in reality, they're sucking Trump and the federal government and all these. So what the federal government's response at this point and what they're doing is exactly what they want.
Right.
So I see this thing continuing to escalate to the point
right.
of exactly what they desire to have.
So then the question becomes, why do they want, as Trump being president, why do they want him to be at the head of this?
They think it makes him look like an ogre. It looked like Hitler, and then people are going to vote him out, and then they have no obstacles. They can take over everything.
But this is going to be the chaos will be the normal if the radical left gets power.
Sure,
this will not stop if the radical left gets power.
It's not going to stop if they don't get power.
Well, and it's not going to stop if they don't get power. That's true too. But the whole thing is crazy. You have, like you said, the Portland mayor. I don't know what he was thinking. The Portland mayor trots out to the, you know, where the peaceful protesters are, right? And he gets sprayed in the face with tear gas, right?
And
now look at this in the
pictures. And then attacked by the people that he was going there to express his solidarity.
He was expressing solidarity with him.
I'm with you.
Boom. And they're hit throwing water bottles at him and calling him names and telling him to resign. And
no, I'm on your side.
He says, I couldn't see. Oh, well, that's the protester. I couldn't see, but he would tear gas. But the mayor was, he would tear gas too, and he couldn't see. And the reason he was running is because he was being pelted with water bottles and you know, ham sandwiches. And
you know, it's what I said. I mean, these are the useful idiots. What I've seen is most of the elected officials, they're true believers, which mm-hmm. makes them morons, right? They're,
right.
They like this guy thinks, oh, we get out here and, you know, I can show them I support them and then they'll support me, you know, all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just what I said. This guy has no place in their future, in the
right.
world that they want to build. I mean, number one, he's the police commissioner. Number
right.
two, he's a mayor.
Right.
Right? Which is part of, you know, government in our republic. They
should be
want
promoting
that to go
law
away.
And order. Yeah.
They want that to go away. They don't want a government with a mayor and city council. You know, they don't want that.
Yeah.
So the guy, and then he's white. So there's no place in their future for this idiot mayor. But he's so stupid. He goes out there, oh, that'd be nice, and show him I'm with him, and I support this, and blah, blah, blah.
You know what's
He's
funny?
An idiot.
Mayor Castor in Tampa did the exact same thing.
With the same
with
results.
With the exact same results.
No, they don't get
it. These, see, this is, they don't understand these people. I'm going to put this video up here again so you can see.
Because I'm a racist.
People.
I'm a racist, right? When we point out, we can go to their website, we can go to their book, we point out what they say. We reveal that these people are nothing but black Nazis. And I'm a racist because I say that.
Right.
Okay, so what? Who cares? Go read their stuff. It's a fact. It's
yeah.
true. So you have no place. If you are white, if you have white skin, not brown skin, whatever, you have no place in their world. Simple as that.
What is the name of that book again? Because I need to put that up
Burn
there.
Burn Down the American Plantation.
Burn Down... There it is.
It's
a call for revolutionary abolitionist movement.
Yep.
And I'm going to put it up here so you guys can see it.
No, read the lunatics. The what I don't remember the lady's name, but she wrote some book about white fragility that's now part of college education and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Here it is.
I mean, she's
Burn
like,
down the American plantation. In this is their manifesto, by the way, that was published in 2015. And the manifesto, when you read through the manifesto itself, did you actually buy it? I thought you did, a digital version. Because I thought, I was scrolling down, I was expecting I was actually expecting to see it, but I remembered that you actually bought it.
If you go to revolutionaryabolition.org, it's actually linked there. You can actually get it in a PDF version for free. And
I thought we had that. There they are.
So it says right there,
read the book.
So, you know.
And here's download the PDF.
Right. Read that. Type in white fragility. Find that. Find her article.
Oh,
not you.
Not
I'm
in
telling.
Here.
I'm telling the
People.
Audience.
Okay.
Google white fragility.
Uh-huh.
And
I can find it.
Read what this lady writes. It's representative of the thought process.
Robin DiAngelo.
Yes, it's representative of the thought process of the Black Lives Matter movement, revolutionary abolitionist movement. This is now part of American education system. This is the training that, you know, what the white kids get. And there's a guy, in fact, in the Atlantic, I know we railed on against the Atlantic, but there's a guy in the Atlantic, guest writer that wrote an article about this, sort of rebutting this, black author, and it was great. And he lays it out of, you know, it's pure insanity. It's racist. It's mm-hmm. totally racist. He doesn't say Nazi, but it's what it is. You see the same talking points. Just it's like the colors are reversed. That's all.
Larry Rogers with the Super Chat Benjamin. Thank you so much, Larry Rogers, for your support. Super Chat moment. And then we have Drywallo again. Printing press go brr. $5. Thank you so much. Have some fiat. You're right. What I want to point out here, JC, is that this is typical destabilization protocol.
Yes.
This is what our CIA does in foreign countries.
Yeah.
These communists, these Marxists, are using this destabilization process, and that's why I'm trying to say.
Or the CIA is behind this too.
Or the CIA is behind this too, right? Well, now you really want to put the tinfoil hat on for the day.
I mean, how do you know? Like, this is what they do everywhere else around the world.
Yeah.
If they had a good reason, why wouldn't they do it? Or if they could think up a good reason, why wouldn't they do it here? Who knows?
Right.
But at least looking at the leaders, the teachers in particular, those who lay out the ideology, the people that they follow in the BLM movement and in the revolutionary abolitionist movement, the Black Hebrew Roots movement, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Right.
So it's all consistent philosophy. It's not hidden. It's not secret. This is the crazy thing. You're not going to hear this on CNN, MSNBC, or really probably even Fox News laying out what they believe.
Right.
Number one, it's so shocking.
Let me ask you, has anybody ever heard on Fox about the two books that we've talked about today, revolutionaryabolitionist.org? That's why I'm asking the people out there. I mean, tell me, is this the... because we've talked about these publications before, but... has anybody heard anybody in the mainstream media talking about this?
No. No way. No, I don't think they would.
Well, why would they...
Because, again, it's so... The stuff is so... it's so grotesque.
It is absolutely
grotesque. I mean, all you really have to do... I don't have to say much of anything, right? Mm-hmm. So you can just take their... you can look at their words. Read their... if you read their words mm-hmm. publicly, just say what they say. It's so grotesquely evil that I don't know. Maybe I don't. Most people don't believe it.
Right.
Okay. I'm not making. I mean, come on. My family on my father's side is black. All right. I'm not making some racist comment when I say black Nazi. I'm making a factual comment.
Right.
So you can look at these writers and what they say. Their racial comments that they make.
No, they call for the extermination of the white race.
That the Nazis were making about the Jews or any undesirable people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these people at the intellectual leaders of the BLM movement and the revolutionary abolitionist movement make identical statements about the so-called white race and white people. And if you read the White Fragility book or her article version of that, the lady makes it very clear, and they all celebrate her work. She makes it very clear there is no out for a white person. There is absolutely nothing you can do to redeem yourself in their world.
Is this the article that you were talking about?
The Dehumanizing Condescension of White Fragility. So that's John McWhorter, who wrote a rebuttal to this nonsense in The Atlantic. It's a great article. It's a long article. It's in depth. I encourage everybody to take a look at it. But anyway, it exposes it. So not to go too far down that trail again, get distracted from what we were talking about. But this is the people that you're dealing with. So it's not, let me say it again. Let me say... just echo what Tucker Carlson said. The movement is not about the black lives per se. It's not about black lives in the context of George Floyd and police killings, whatever.
Right.
This movement is the leaders of the BLM organization, the revolutionary abolitionist movement, the intellectual teachers that lay out the ideology of this movement. This is a racist, genocidal, evil, anarchist movement Nazi-like movement that wants the extermination, either the extermination, if they can't get that, they'll accept the enslavement of white people and the absolute dissolution of any form of government other than their tribal, this Zapatista, you know, local tribe council utopia.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the movement. Now, if you somebody would clip out what I just said in the mainstream and, oh, listen to this white supremacist, right supremacist, raving lunatic. Here's the problem. You go read what they say, not what I say. Go read what they say. Every characterization that I just made is fact. 100% fact. Undeniable. Undeniable. It's just the reality. And it's all there. You can look. You can go. You don't need to watch the Chris Ann Hall show to figure this out. You can start at revolutionary abolition. What was it? Revolutionary.
Abolitionist.org.
What is their website address exactly?
Okay.
Yeah.
Revolutionary abolition.org.
Start there. Follow the rabbit hole. Then also Google white fragility. Find this lady's article. I suggest find the article. She has a short sort of article version of it. Find that. Read it.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding that article.
Follow the rabbit hole. Go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else anybody needs to tell you.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is available for you to discover on your own, and you will realize every single thing I just said in characterizing these people is 100% undeniable fact. And there are many, many, many good people, black and white, being sucked into supporting these folks because they think, they believe that it's about the heinous murder and public execution of George Floyd by whoever that was in the streets.
Right.
Okay.
Well, first off, it would,
and it's not about that.
Again, because it
not
was
about it.
It was not, again, you have to ask the question, why the federal courthouse? It was not federal police that killed George Floyd.
Right.
It wasn't in Portland. Right? Am I wrong? Was it in Portland?
Nope.
Okay. So what is the connection? The connection is, if we simply make it about George Floyd, then we can't draw the federal government into this.
Right.
This is destabilization tactics. I do not understand.
Correct.
Fox News loves to have experts. They love having CIA experts. They love having former agent experts. Why aren't we talking about the destabilization tactics that are being used in our own country? I mean, I don't even... This is nuts. You know, you've got the people in Portland, the government in Portland, telling the federal government to go home. So let me ask this question, JC. If the federal government is supposed to go home, then why do they allow the federal government to have property inside their state, inside their city, right? And thank you, Val, for your super chat. Always rocking the truth. Thank you, JC and Chris Ann. P.S. George says hi to Mac. George is Val's cat, by the way. So, anyway, this is what we need to be talking about, JC, because the solution to all of this still, once again, eludes the people. Because I'm watching the people in the chat room, people like, Chris Ann looks confused. Now, I'm not confused by what JC's saying. I'm confused about what's going on in our chat room, because the people are missing the point here. This is not about George Floyd. This is not about the federal government. This is about the systematic destruction of the American way of life. We talked about this yesterday. We needed to get rid of citizenship, right? You got the whole left trying to get rid of the citizenship thing. So you have to get rid of citizenship so nobody is a citizen, and then everybody is a global person, and you have all of this stuff going on in America, and everybody's scratching their heads, and they're still looking at the wrong solution. Somebody said in the chat room, JC, so what exactly is their our point? Do they do not want, they want these people to just take over everything? No. The point is, there is solution without destroying our constitutional republic. There absolutely is a solution. And what's amazing is the solution falls into the proper constitutional perspective. Okay?
I think
the proper, go ahead.
That quote, some, well, the Victor Sheridan, the Saul Alinsky quote, that sums it up. The issue is never the issue. It's always the revolution.
Right.
And that's the thing to remember what's going on here.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
You have to remember the, you know, who's behind this, right? I mean, again, it's Soros funded and all these these money laundering NGO charities that fund this thing. It's well organized. Coeur d'Alene, they were busing people in, buying their plane tickets, busing them in Mercedes vans. And I mean, it's been millions and millions of dollars doing this. It's not some spontaneous protest.
Yeah.
This is highly organized, well-funded, and happening in these cities. So when you have local protesters that show up, right, and then the mayor, we were peacefully protesting, and they act like, well, then this other group doesn't exist who came there. The well-funded group whose goal it is to dissolve any form of government in America,
right?
They're well-funded, highly organized, and they want to create these violent confrontations. And the thing is, they take it right to the edge. So, like, think about people here, throwing water bottles.
Yeah.
Oh, who cares a water bottle? So they're frozen water bottles, right, that they're launching. So they do that thing on purpose where the average person hears water bottle and they're like, why do you need police and bullets and this and fighting water bottles? So they know how to manage
and de-escalate the narrative.
Right. They know how to manage the narrative, right? So that's not it's hard to even say. Use your brain. Whoever heard, come on, somebody answer me this question. Whoever heard of a spontaneously frozen case of water bottles?
Yeah. Or a spontaneously...
Try to put a water bottle in your freezer tonight and figure out how long that takes.
Yeah. Now do a whole case of
it. You don't go, oh my God, I'm so angry, let's go protest. And oh, by the way, I just happen to have this case of frozen water bottles.
It's bottles.
Organized. It's planned. It's orchestrated.
You got a pallet of magically appearing bricks.
Yeah. It's orchestrated. And these
pallets
are the people behind it.
Of spray paint just appearing.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a philosophy behind
420
it.
Icons, thank you for your super chat. I do want to say this, JC, because I think this is very, very important. What we need to tell everybody is the solution. We can talk about all the problems. We can talk about what's happening. We can talk about how the fact that the federal government doesn't have the authority to come in and do this unless they're on federal property, right? So they absolutely, this is the crazy thing. The whole argument.
Well, that's what Trump said.
Yeah,
Trump
exactly.
Trump agreed with you.
Yeah.
We can't come in unless we're invited.
Right.
That's what he said.
And because it's federal property, they don't need an invitation at federal property because it's federal property.
Yeah, they can protect that.
They can protect the federal property. So, you know, I mean, this is not a pro-Trump thing. This is not an anti-Trump thing. This is a Constitution thing. And apparently, somebody in the Trump administration is teaching Trump something about this. I don't know. So what's the solution? The solution is, and always has been, JC, local. Because you see, the sheriff should be, and the deputies should be protecting the private property. They should be protecting the peaceful protesters, and they should be arresting the criminals. Now, when I use that term peaceful protest, I really mean that, okay? I don't mean the media's version. I mean like people with signs and stuff like that. The actual protesters. Now, the question always comes up, well, you have in Portland. They called the police down. They said, don't go. So what's the solution? Call in the feds? No. The solution is the people organize to defend their lives, their liberties, and their properties. This was the whole purpose for understanding that the well as described in the Second Amendment, the well-regulated militia is the whole body of the people. I just want to read this, JC, and I don't know if people get annoyed with all my founders' quotes or something.
This show, back to back with the last show, is probably going to get us deplatformed.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But I'm just going to go ahead and read these. This is what the founders... let me put it this way, because that word founders has been destroyed. This is what the people who wrote the Second Amendment, how's that, said about the right to keep and bear arms. Okay? So, this is George Mason. George Mason, who is also referred to as the father of the Bill of Rights, said 40 years ago, when the resolution of enslaving America was formed in Great Britain, the British Parliament was advised by an artful man who was governor of Pennsylvania to disarm the people, that it was the best and most effectual way to enslave them, but that they should not do it openly, but weaken them and let them sink gradually. So Mason is telling us that the governor of Pennsylvania, who was a hireling of the king at the time, was telling Parliament that you need to disarm the people, but don't show up on their doorstep and take their guns, because they'll shoot you in the forehead. So what you have to do is you have to weaken them and let them be disarmed gradually. How do you do that? Well, you make it difficult for them to get the arms. You make it difficult for them to get the ammunition. You make it difficult for them to get the parts for the arms if they need to do that. You make it hard for them to get the musket balls. You make it hard for them to get the gunpowder. And that's how you weaken them. And you know what the other part of this was? People don't talk about it. People always talk about how the disarming works by taking your arms away. Disarming works here too, because it worked there as well. Not only did they make it difficult to have the guns, but they also showed to the public that it was not necessary to get the guns. Okay? Here's what they did. They sent in British regular troops in the streets to prove that they would keep the people safe so that the people would not have to defend themselves. You know, I know it's difficult for you to get your arms and your ammunition and it's you know, you're farmers and stuff. You need to spend your time in the field and providing for your families. Don't worry about that. That's why we have the regular troops here. They're trained. You know, they know what they're doing. You don't have to worry about that. So they're strong and tough, and they know what they're doing. You don't have to defend yourself. We'll defend you, right? That's part of the gradual disarming of the people. Has that not happened in America already? How many people don't even bother to get guns because they think the police are going to take care of them?
Oh, my goodness. Here we are with, I would say, a majority of the people who call themselves conservatives or what have you, not talking about defending our own cities or whatever, but hey, send federal troops, send the army. So we've crossed that line to where now the people who say they support the Constitution are saying, no, let the federal government take over everything and do everything.
Invite them in.
I don't know. That's the crazy. It's like a crazy phenomenon when Donald Trump is elected, all of a sudden self-governance went out the window. It was now federal government save me. Federal government do everything.
In 1992, I think it was 1992. What's his name? The former attorney general under Obama.
Holder,
yes, Eric Holder. Eric Holder gave a speech about brainwashing people about guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm going to try to pull it up so we can see it. And I want everybody to see it because it's like 1995. I'm going to play this for you because this was 1995. And let me mention to you, by the way, that... Eric Holder is a George Bush, no, a Ronald Reagan appointee, okay? So here's what he said, and
just
I want you to think.
Just wondering how far back the deep state goes.
Yeah, just so you're wondering how far the deep state goes. Here we go.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Did you catch that? We need to make people think differently, vastly differently, about guns. We need to brainwash them into thinking differently about guns. And that's exactly what has happened in America today.
And more broadly about the federal government. I think it seems like there's a brainwashing.
Yeah. Yeah, because,
it's
we got to call in the federal troops.
No, it's shocking. We listened to, under President Obama, I listened to the same people then just screaming nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Federal government, get out of here. Federal government, get out of here. State sovereignty, you know, we will take care of ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Many of those very same people now have nonstop called for federal intervention on every single issue you can think of. Everything they were telling Obama that he shouldn't be doing, they're begging this president and this federal government to
right.
do. So this brainwashing on a broad scale, it's incredible to me.
Well, and it's the same brainwashing because, you know, we've been allowed the lawyers and the politicians and the judges to teach us that a well-regulated militia means a government-organized force. Right? It doesn't mean us. George Mason says, I ask who are the militia. They consist now of the whole body of the people, except a few public officers. Our founders believed that the militia was everyone, not including government. Here's Noah Webster. He says, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. He says a force at the command of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
A force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for the people will possess the power, and jealousy will instantly inspire the inclination of the people to resist the execution of a law which appears to them unjust and oppressive. We are missing the solution to all of this. It always has and always will be resting in the people's right, authority, and duty to defend their own lives, liberties, and properties, especially when those we've elected and put into that trust fail to do that.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of this? Because, I want to know what... Am I callous, uncaring, whatever? So, I didn't vote in the Marxist complicit government of Portland.
Right.
So, is it bad when I say, why should I run and try to protect federal grounds and stop rioters, whatever? I mean, mm-hmm. You elected a government who wants to welcome them in. It's just, on the one hand, I kind of think, why are we always intervening to keep people from the consequences of supporting Marxists?
Right.
I mean, doesn't it, at some point, like when you're raising kids, I remember, you know, several times you kind of allow the kids, like you see them doing stupid stuff and they don't listen. At some point, you kind of step back and go, okay. And then they feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, all right, do you get what I've been telling you now? But
yeah.
It seems like we're like, you know, at the same time saying, Portland is you know, Marxist and their government and they're sold out and this and that. Okay, so then why are you calling to bail them out of their own? I mean, they did this.
Yeah, I think part of that.
You think Mayor Wheeler stole that seat. Like he just came in and invaded the little wussy wussy boy with his safety his plastic safety goggles on. You think he came in and he seized power?
Right.
Dude, no, the residents of Portland elected these lunatics.
Right.
And then, hello, this is what they bring you. So Portland, you don't want this going on in Portland? I mean, I'm gonna sit here whining over Portland. You did this. I didn't do this. So
yeah,
the one side of it, I understand there are patriots here and there sprinkled among these places.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I just don't understand why we are so incensed about we got to get in there and fix Portland.
Right.
Seriously?
Right. Well, no, I totally agree.
Portland fix Portland? How about Portland feel the pain of their stupidity?
Well, and again, goes back to the point that I was trying to make. This is not something the federal government is supposed to be fixing. This is something the people are supposed to be fixing. If you had an armed, trained, constitutionally knowledgeable people, then they would know to stand for themselves. And that's the thing. But problem is, I think a lot of people see this, JC, and I'm just going to sort of be a little devil's advocate here. I don't believe that it's the federal government's job to go in and fix this. But I do believe that inside the American psyche, we realize just how close every single community is to this, because this ideology is what we've been training our people into.
But you know what?
And we have been disarmed, and we have been duped, and we have been brainwashed. And so people, I think...
But I just had this conversation with somebody, because here's the thing. And so people say that, like, because I had a conversation with about this, and, you know, the answer was, well, this is a cancer everywhere. I understand that. But here's the thing about that. So the federal troops, agents, whoever, scoop up these people that are throwing the bottles. And okay, you know what you've done? Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. These aren't they're not the people. They're not the people. Mm-hmm. So this is a thought I had. If the feds, like, because they announced they arrested, this is what's crazy. Mm-hmm. So they arrested 18 of these people.
Okay, right.
So the people bringing the trash, lighting the fires, throwing the bottles. Do you understand these are just stooges?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I?
So federal government, you arrested...
We're running out of time, and I don't want to miss this.
But understand this point. You arrested 18 nobodies. If I really believe the federal government was serious and all that, you know, the Q, Trump is saving us and all that, okay, these are not the people that you should be going after. These are not the people... Or, yeah, maybe you should arrest these people, but that's not doing anything. So I don't see any arrest of actual people in places, going to places where it would really stop this. Because, by the way, they've infiltrated every college in every city in America. I don't see any of those.
All right, JC,
people.
I got to talk about this. We've only got 5 minutes left because it's Friday and we got somebody coming in on the backside. But I want to point out this, because we're talking about Portland is in what state?
Oregon,
right? Let's talk about the inconsistency in the response. Kick the federal government out. You have this happening, okay? This is the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon. We were actually there.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually there. This is the federal courthouse in Portland. This is what you see happening at the federal courthouse in Portland. And they're screaming for the fences to be taken down. Let me just rewind the clock for you, please, okay? In Oregon, there were these protesters, okay? These protesters who were protesting the presence of the federal government in our farmers' lives, in the lives of our families, taking over our farms, our land, our water, and our resources. These were the protesters in Oregon. This is the Harney County Courthouse, right? And you can't really see a lot, because what's crazy is the Harney County Courthouse at the time, because I was there, was surrounded by fence and barricade. They had armed federal troops there. because of these protesters,
mm-hmm.
at the demand of the governor of Oregon. Okay? These people destroyed nothing. Here's the fence and the barricades that were around the Harney County Courthouse. By the way, they also put the same fence and barricade around the hospital,
mm-hmm.
by the federal government. And if we're going to be talking about people executed in by the federal government, this is the body of Lavoie Finicum, I have to remind you. Shot down. We still don't know if it was the Oregon Police Department or federal agents, right? So don't come here and tell me that somehow we have to take these people seriously, that somehow the federal presence in Portland, Oregon
is a threat
when they're protecting actual federal property. When in Burns, Oregon,
the protesters
were labeled domestic terrorists. This is what happened by the federal government, by the request of the federal of the governor of Oregon. And this was the result of the federal involvement there. There were no riots. There were no outrage. There was no demand for troops. I need to know, JC, why is it that we get this kind of civil unrest for something that doesn't even involve the federal government, and crickets and condemnation for the people like us for when it actually was a federal issue, when it actually was federal misconduct? Where are all the riots? Where's all the civil unrest?
Because the BLM and the revolutionary abolitionist movement are not just the people conducting protest. They are these elected officials,
mm-hmm.
the leaders, the media. So this narrative lines up with their racist, anarchist mission.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will have to talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless.